The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.
Here we go, King. He said he's given me the signal from long range. I can shoot from outside 50. This is the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, the 8-4 podcast, Kingy. And we're going to deliver a few home truths about the old pussycats. We're going to dissect and disseminate what transpired last week. They got the Chockies. It was hardly convincing, but they got a win, broke a four-game losing streak and set up a 1v3 clash. But I was thinking, King, looking at the ladder, I had a perusal of the ladder last night.
I like that word.
Have you ever done that?
Perusal.
Yeah, I perused the ladder.
Yeah.
And because I was sort of a little bit bored. I was waiting for State of Origin to come on. And I just thought to myself, the Cats, and are they a false third?
Yep.
Yeah, I think they are too. I think there's no way knowing the Cats are a third team. I mean, I know that's where they sit. So people say, well, that's their record. And that's true. But this is a bit of a test for, well, not a bit of a test, a big test against a team that's at the peak of its powers. Can you explain to me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's vagaries everywhere, aren't there?
There are vagaries everywhere. Great word, vagaries.
Yeah.
You've used perusal and vagaries early.
Yes.
They were very, very good on a
My
Scrabble
St.
board.
My St. Joseph's education. We've got some money back
your
there. I can use
so
some other words too.
Yeah, no. Which, move on. You wanted to make this a quick podcast.
Yeah, so the vagaries of the draw. I mean, Sydney have had two buys already.
I have.
Geelong have had how many?
Well, none.
Yeah.
But none. But if they can't, but they count that opening round as a buy.
Well, how can they be an opening? No, they've had two buys. Sydney have had two buys. Yep. Geelong have had none.
Yep.
I don't know that that's fair and equitable.
Well, I'm surprised the Swans had the bye last week.
Why?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's not equitable. That's
but
not
putting
fair.
Well, putting that fixture together is not easy.
No.
In the AFL's defence.
Well, it is. But you don't have a team have two buys in the opening 11 rounds and a team doesn't have any.
Yeah. No,
no, that's they've cocked that up.
They've made a boo boo.
Yeah, cocked it right up. Cats were, I mentioned, they got the job done. They dominated the second half. Their first half was pretty ordinary.
Against Richmond's VFL team.
Yeah, it was. It was five goals. I think a really good team would have torn Richmond apart.
Yep.
Geelong struggled. But they got there, and they did dominate. It's the second week in a row now that they've dominated the last quarter, and you probably expect it against Richmond, given they were young and were always going to probably start with a rush and fall away. But they dominated the last quarter against GWS. They just couldn't score. So I suppose the big issue, Kingy, this week is selection for the Cats. When you're the ear to the ground, what's your thought on...
Well, Dangerfield's got to play. And I think he's going to be right.
Is he right?
Yeah. Hey, Loggie from Brekkie team has just rolled in. Just
yeah,
wants to be
part
of
the podcast.
Do,
I would have
do you want to jump on? Come on, Log. Jump. Yeah, sure. I've got it. I think you're Mike.
This would be like three-way turf talk with Loggie.
Hang on. Five.
Kingy, Mike five.
Kingy's never been much good at pressing any buttons, I reckon.
Well, hang on. I wasn't ready for this to be on this prestigious show. Yeah. I mean, it's not like mine.
This isn't a prestigious show.
Yeah, I've heard good things.
Well, Kingy has to edit most of it because I get in trouble. I get him
no,
in trouble.
I've heard about you. Yes. Don't worry, I've heard all about that.
Yes,
Log's an Essendon supporter.
Right, well, we won't hold that against her.
No. Oh, thank you.
They're actually going to be the Cats.
Game. That's going to be a good game in three
That
weeks.
Is going to be here. The biggest crowd, they're saying, in the history of those two clubs at home and away.
Which is, I think, 89,000.
95, they're expecting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be huge on a Saturday night.
Absolutely. Sunday night, isn't it?
No, Saturday night.
Do you have tickets
I
for
thought
me?
It was Sunday night because of the long weekend.
Who? Oh, you're talking about Essendon Carlton.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Geelong and Essendon.
Oh,
I was thinking Essendon Carlton as well.
Yeah,
Essendon Carlton.
Kingy jumped ahead there.
But I was looking ahead to the Geelong Essendon.
No, Geelong Essendon Carlton this Sunday will be enormous.
Yeah. You got tickets for me or what? You know people. You both know people.
No, I don't know anybody. I can get you into the races today.
Yeah, really? Nah, I'm not
free
interested
free
in that.
Of charge.
Nah.
The people that we do know don't want to know us.
Yeah.
So they sort of, you know how, you know, you just walk past somebody and you sort of drop your eyes.
Yeah.
That's what people do to us.
No, I do that to both of you all the time.
Yeah,
I can imagine. That's why it was weirded out when I came in here and I'm like, what's going on?
How did your team meeting go? Did you get an award?
Yeah, and I know.
This is a staff meeting that Carol just had, and I walked in, and I obviously was disappointed that I got nothing, but how did you go?
Oh, no, you know, I don't do extremely well most weeks, but I'm there. That's all that counts,
you get like
right?
a most improved?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I just slide past. I'm in that mid region.
Right.
Where it's like you can hear her. But what does she actually do?
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
Yeah.
So, that sort of middle tier.
Yeah.
That's good. Exactly. That's a good spot to be, though.
Yeah, love the middle tier.
Yeah, that's exactly
Do you,
right.
You didn't give your speech this week, though,
No, I had to come in here and start recording this.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I won't bang
is
on
it. Really, is it just me, or is it extremely warm in here?
Oh, yeah, no. So Tom, from the Brekkie Show, obviously, Tom Lingy and Loggy, listen to that.
6 a.m. every morning.
He likes it hot in here. Like,
I'm going to be riding at 54 today.
Oh, really?
If I stay in here much longer.
Settle all right.
It's as hot as hell.
Okay, let me turn it down.
Take your jacket off then.
Well,
hey, Log.
Yeah.
Thanks for dropping by.
Thank you. Thanks.
Good work, Loggy.
Impromptu.
I just turned the heater on for a laugh.
Go the bombers. Turned it up.
Loggy from Tom Lingy and Loggy. 6 a.m. Every weekday morning. Lingy doesn't turn
the
up.
Former cat captain.
Yeah.
Does he give you? He'll be able to get you tickets. Why are you asking us? He'd be able to get you in the committee room, I would have thought.
All right. Paddy Dangerfield is a test.
Yeah.
I would be shocked if he doesn't play.
Well, I'd be shocked and disturbed after he had a fitness test last week at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on St Mary's Oval. That was quite extraordinary. I've never seen that before.
No, I was walking across the ground, and here's Paddy. He's got the timber pole, and he's doing all these stretches and some sprints.
And there was kids just walking to the footy, and parents and families, and 1,000 people having a drink in the bar there at St Mary's, while he was just exploding up and down the wing.
Never seen it before.
Well, I think the Cats. Is there a physio to the stars involved there, Kingy?
No, I'm not sure.
Well, I think there might be a physio to the stars who comes down.
Right.
But only very, very selective group of players that he'll work with.
Yeah, okay. The gentleman that was out there on the field with him, there were two gentlemen there. One of them I'd never seen before at the club.
Oh, he could be physio to the stars. So this guy comes down and works with players, but if you've not played the required number of games or have a profile that where you sort of have a Wikipedia page, he will not even look at you. So that's perhaps why it was a very weird time to be doing that at 5:10.
But they would have done it out in the ground. If the reserve.
But it's a weird time to be doing it anyway.
Yeah, well, maybe just when he was available.
This is their physio to the stars. Do you see him, Kingy?
Their physio to the stars.
Has he massaged any of
you? You are sweating it up in here.
Has he massaged any of your regions?
No, Benny. You wanted to make this a quick show.
Yeah, we've got to go.
You're being a little bit off.
20 minutes, yeah.
A little bit off tap.
Yeah. Off tap.
So Dangerfield, Blitzarves will be back.
Jai Clark
becomes available. I don't know whether he does
no,
it come instantly back
does.
In.
No.
Cam
Guthrie?
No, after the bye. Mm. Ollie Henry is a test. The Cats have got these. If Henry and Dangerfield were to play, the only two players on the injury list are Ollie Wiltshire, the drafter,
and
Cam Guthrie. That's incredible.
So Dangerfield
compared
is,
on last year,
Dangerfield
last
is year. Tracking to play.
He is tracking to play.
And what's the thought on Ollie Henry?
He was a test, so we'll know more.
Do you think that they will leave the three tools in?
Shannon Neal, Hawkins, Ollie Henry and doesn't play, yes. If Ollie Henry plays, I reckon Shannon Neal might get squeezed.
Do you think that they will bring in Reece Stanley to replace Toby Conway?
Toby Conway did media this week, and they're usually, like, I know the media don't pick the team, but they don't put players up.
Who aren't playing.
Who potentially aren't playing.
Well, I hope he plays if he's pulled up. Well,
Stanley's only played a half in the VFL last week.
Yeah.
He's not coming. Surely he needs, if they think he needs more game time.
Look, Conway, in fairness, is likely to have his pants pulled down by Grundy, but it's all part of the learning experience for him.
Yep. You might as well get games into him.
And if he's fitting well and feeling good, I mean, look, if there's a reason to manage him as they like to do, then fine. But if he's actually up and about, pulled up well, and he's ready to go, I think you just give the kid the experience. And Grundy probably can't believe his lucky stars having gone to Sydney.
Guess how many players the Swans have used this year?
How many, King? I'd say 28.
Yeah, 27.
20, I was only one off.
Yeah.
Pussycats, how many are they used?
Cats have used, I reckon, it's 32? In the 30s. Yeah, it's about 32 or 33.
They've had a pretty good run. McCartan back this week?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that helps. Yeah, they're going very well, Sydney. They've got every base covered. They've got a couple of young key forwards who are good, McLean, and McDonald. They've got Papley and Haywood, and then in the middle they've got Heaney, Warner.
Haywood's re-signed.
Yeah, he's a good player, Haywood. Yep. He's the one that can bob up. He's their version of Ollie Henry.
Yep.
He can just bob up and kick you three goals. They've got a good defence. It was undersized. We think it's undersized without McCartan there, but they've been able to find a way. They've got some really good young skillful players, McInerney, Goulden. Yep. I just fear Geelong's midfield will get really exposed against this mob, unfortunately.
And on a small ground too, where the ball just out of the middle, bang, deep 50 entries.
The Cats, I was thinking
that's
about.
That's the only upside for the Cats, is that, yes, if you clear out of the middle, you are getting it deep inside 50, but you can get caught out on the wings in Sydney as well. You've got to be really direct at the SCG.
Well, yeah, and that helps if you've got a midfield that's on top. I'd sort of argue that Geelong haven't had a winning midfield now for probably 6 weeks. It's been beaten 6 weeks in a row. They've found a way to win a couple of those. Carlton was one, and obviously Richmond, but we would have expected that given that they had Prestia and Tarano not playing, Hoppers out. Their midfield was absolutely basket case sort of arrangements. But I was thinking if Geelong are any chance to at least push Sydney, and as you'd expect, they're good players. And this is the case with any team, but their good players are going to have to play well. Yep. Dangerfield's going to need to play well. Jeremy Cameron, he's been just going, I reckon, for 6 weeks.
Yep.
Just going. He needs to have a real influence and an influence forward of centre. Not, I know he'd get back and they'll say, everyone says how great it is that he'll help out in defence, which I get. If there's late in a quarter or something and he can save a goal, great. But if he's getting half his possessions at half back, you're in Barney rubble.
Yep.
Absolute Barney rubble. He needs to kick goals and needs to be or setting up goals forward to centre. But you need players like to play well. You need Atkins to play well. You need Jack Bowes to play well. Bowes is no star, but when he plays well, he offers you something. But we've also seen him play really poorly against good teams. He was good last week. If he's one that plays well, it gives the midfield a little bit of a list. Tommy Atkins is crucial, just his defensive work around the ball. He needs to play well. You'd love to see a big game from Dempsey. If they could get decent games from their bottom six or seven, they don't need to star, but if they can contribute and then you've got the top end playing well. Hawkins is one that I reckon he's a chance to play well in Sydney.
Yep.
A few long balls in. He probably...
McCartan go to him?
No, Melican.
Okay.
Melican would go to him. I reckon McCartan goes to Cameron.
Yep.
Melican's not a bad play. He's a Birragurra boy, I think.
He used
to play at the Falcons.
Yep.
Yeah. He's underrated. You probably haven't heard of him, but he's actually a big unit. But Hawkins, I reckon, if you could give him four or five opportunities, one out with Melican, I reckon it's the sort of game where he actually really could have an influence in front of goal.
Melican's brother captain's Colak.
Right.
Jack.
Does he?
Yep.
Jack Melican.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Good player.
Oh, yeah.
Very good player. But Louis turned into a very, very handy defender.
Yeah, he's not a star, but he's solid and he's got some size about him. But I like that matchup and I like the ground for Hawkins. If they can find a way to move the ball quickly, that's when you're relying on your midfield playing well. Yeah, that's the problem.
Do you want some questions, Ben?
Yeah, King. I love questions.
Off.
Anything to do with the quiz last week? I got
no.
a bit of feedback from my quiz
did
from
you?
A couple of people, yeah.
Good
they
feedback?
Suggested it was shit.
Okay.
They didn't mince words. They just go, "York, that quiz." And I said, yeah, it was shit. And I said, oh, right, okay.
There was a suggestion.
I said, I've got a suggestion box somewhere.
Somebody suggested on Big Footy that you might have dropped the F-bomb on air on Saturday night, but I don't remember that.
No,
I didn't think that was the case.
Fruit tingles.
Yeah. No. Fruit tingles.
No, I said, no. No, you would have known. It's not something you just don't,
yeah,
you don't recall.
No, I didn't pick it up.
No.
No.
I didn't. It may have sounded, I may have said.
Something.
Fakari rug. Or a fugazi.
Paul Marinelli, this is hard to write, but have you noticed Tom Stewart's lack of leadership out on the field? I can't recall him talking to any players, directing traffic at a stoppage or goal, just head down, only playing his role. Even Martin, who was mute, was gathering the troops. Something's up.
That's an interesting observation. I watched this week.
Yep.
I don't know that Tom Stewart is the most vocal on-field player. No. I mean, we know Tom Hawkins is. I'm trying to think of some other. Obviously, Joel Selwood was. Back in the day, Cameron Ling. I don't know that is part of the makeup of Tom Stewart. I'd be interesting to ask him that. But we'll watch that. I think that is... I wouldn't suggest that that's off the mark, to be honest with you.
The Hoops crew, what year will Ollie Dempsey complete the trifecta of individual medals, rising star Brownlow and Norm Smith?
Geez, he's been good. I suggested that, you know, maybe manage him, but he was good on the weekend. And we've said it, he's got some tricks. He's got more than just one trick. He's got a few. He's really developed this year. Is this his third season?
Yes.
Yeah. I've really liked him, and he's actually surprised me, to be honest with you.
Both of us, and we are putting our hands up and saying that we probably didn't.
No,
think,
you did.
Oh, well, I definitely did.
I wasn't poo pooing him like you.
Yeah.
I just thought he might have been a bit of a one trick pony, sort of take the freak mark and kick your goal. But he's actually a whole lot more than that.
Can he win the Rising Star?
Well, now that the old Harley Davidson can't win it,
and Sam Darcy.
Yeah, I think he can. I think he's a chance.
He's a massive
chance. A big chance, because he's seasoned. You know, the vagaries of the Rising Stars is you can win it in your third year against players in their first year. That's a that's a lot of lot of grounding to be had in those two years. So yeah, he's well placed to win.
But usually the rising star is won by a first year player.
It is, but it's also, I think it should be limited to first and second year players, not third year players.
Okay.
It just goes an age, doesn't it?
Medicus, considering, and games played.
Oh, you can't play more than 10.
Yeah, I think
in
so.
Those years.
Yep. Yeah. Medicus, considering we have the bye after this week, should they fast track Danger and get him into the team if he's looking ready, even if it means managing his game time? Oh,
yes.
Shocked
they need Dangerfield back.
Marky Mark, Duncan needs to retire. His game on the weekend was horrible. He's the guy that takes the ball out of D50 and starts the attack, and he turns it over all the time or takes an easy kick sideways. He can't tackle or chase.
Yeah, he didn't play well on the weekend. I wouldn't be putting a line through him just yet, but he's been up and down this year. He's another one that would be instrumental in them being competitive on Sunday, playing well. He didn't play well, Mitch Duncan. He'd be the first to probably admit that and know that. So, but he's one that could bounce back. I wouldn't be just sort of suggesting off the back of that he needs to retire.
If you could bring back one player from all of Geelong's history to play this weekend, who would you pick?
Who would you pick?
Polly Farmer for me.
Oh, it's the easiest question in the planet.
The five.
The senior. Imagine him on Dane Rampy. He'd tear him apart.
But if you needed just a pure midfielder.
No, I don't care. I'd rather have Gaz run through the battle.
I'd like to have Greg Williams in the Geelong side.
Well, I'd love to. I mean, there's a million players you could say, but I'd love to, if we go back in time, it's just every answer to the best thing that ever happened at Geelong is Gary Ablett Sr.
Mitch Hawley, this year's draft crop supposedly full of midfielders and free agent market like a dodgy brothers car dealership. Do you think the Cats would be better off to trade players out for draft picks and try to manoeuvre up into the top 10 rather than bring in ready-made players?
Yeah, if there's not a ready-made... I mean, I'd like the Cats to get Bailey Smith if that was an option. If that's not an option... I mean, is Luke Davies Uniacke, is he one that the Cats are looking at? Because he's seemingly out of North.
Yeah, he'd be very handy.
24-year-old.
Finds a
he's 40. Got 7 or 8 years left. Yep. He's in the age group. If they can't get that calibre of player, if you're not bringing in a player who you think is going to be, you know, spearheading top three in your midfield, I'm all for... I'm all for getting that midfielder in the draft as a high pick.
Magnus Sherlock, how are we going to adjust our midfield to compete with Sydney?
Well, good luck. We're going to have to play well is what we're going to have to do. Well structured.
They're just going to have to be just awake.
Yeah, they're going to have to be well structured. And, I mean, we saw against Port Adelaide in the first half. Port Adelaide just walked through Geelong. Gold Coast walked through Geelong. Carlton walked through Geelong at times in the MCG. And even on the weekend, Richmond at times early walked through the Cats. So if that happens, it'll be good night nurse for the Cats. But they've got to... I mean, look, the one thing is, Kingy, you know that they'll be playing the opposition, they'll be focused. There's going to be no sort of complacency. Not that that should be a thing in footy, but sometimes it can be. I mean, it seemed to be there on the weekend. It took them, what, best part of 60 minutes to start to... or 90 minutes to overpower a VFL team. So focused, structured, and... the opportunities that they get, they're going to have to take. They don't want it. They want to be kicking straight for starters. If you're 4-8 instead of 8-4, you know, on the road you have to. I think kicking straight is absolutely critical.
Damien Tedesco, Kingy and Cass, great call on Saturday night. Hey Benny, went on YouTube and looked up the Family Ties video. Yeah. Very funny,
Mr. Tedesco.
Thoughts about Sunday?
Michael J. Fox. That was a very funny show, Family Ties, and I'm not a big fan of American sitcoms in general, but that was very, very well written. And the kangaroo, while he's at it, Mr. Tedesco there, look up the kangaroo in my living room. That was gold too.
Do we rest Conway and let Scratch a ruck? Kingy, is Danger back? Good to see the young players have a good hit out on Saturday night. That one of Stanley or Conway will be playing.
Well, let's hope it's Conway. I didn't mind Neil in the ruck. I thought he was quite good. He offers you something. He's so athletic that he creates an issue.
Likes the contest.
I'd love him to play. Look, I don't know. Maybe for the sake of, you know, the games, the win and the loss, do you sort of, trying to find the word, do you put less limit on, acknowledgement on the win and loss by playing Neil? Do you diminish your chances of winning by playing him, but then you get another game into him? Yeah. I don't know. It's a balance, but I'd love to see him get another crack. Because I actually thought he was good in the ruck and so showed a bit up forward. So it's just a really likely top. We just got to get him games.
Simon Quinn, I understand that Holmes on ball is done out of necessity, but wondering if it's changed Ben's opinion that he must be the running man. For what it's worth, I'd still love to see him outside if we could. Also, next leadership change, I'd love to see Axe as skipper, Bruin and Holmes as vice-captains. Crazy. Tanner Bruin will captain July.
Yeah, I think you're right, King. He's listening to him talk and his work ethic and the way he plays. I think he's your captain down the track.
Tommy Atkins too close.
Yeah, to I think Tommy Atkins is too close. Yeah, and he is. I mean, Bruin is your probably upgrade on Atkins, similar type player, but going to be better. That's not a knock on Tom Atkins. Tom Atkins has done extraordinarily well to get where he has. But Bruin is Atkins with a few more tricks. Yeah, I think he's 100% your captain. What was the other part of that?
The first part, Holmes being an outside man.
I do love. I mean, when you've got speed that he's got. Being outside is where you want to be. I mean, the inside players generally, I mean, Dangerfield, Judd, perhaps not Crisp, we're seeing it with Harley Reid. If you've got that and you can win the ball, great. And Holmes is still finding his feet with that.
Yep.
But, I don't know, it's a really difficult one because I'd love to see him on the outside. But in saying that, he does have explosion in the contest as well, so it's a bit of a 50-50.
Rexy Kelly said in pre-match a spot hadn't opened up for Hardy because no one in that position was injured. Surely a follow-up question was the form of midfielders in the centre and rotating forward justified Hardy's opportunity rather than relying on an injury to occur. They're just going to keep going back to the...
Right, they clearly don't like Mitch Hardy.
No.
Mitch Hardy's done.
Yeah.
I would have thought.
Yeah.
I mean, for whatever reason, they've drafted him. He's playing his socks off and they don't play him.
Yep.
So the better question would be, which you won't get the answer to, is why don't you like Mitch Hardy?
Yep. Premiers, I've been yelling at the TV for a couple of weeks for someone to put their head over the ball and pick it up. However, commentators were saying it looks like the Cats are waiting for the opposition to pick it up first due to holding the ball interpretations. Thoughts?
Well, if you start doing that, it's a dangerous game.
Yeah.
If you plan on being second of the ball all night
and relying on the umpires,
that's a dangerous ploy. I don't think that's the case. I think the new interpretation has gone too far the other way. Now there's going to be free kicks against you where you think, goodness me, there is absolutely zero prior opportunity. That's the problem. I don't understand. We're the only sport in the world that changes the rules in the middle of the season.
So the change of interpretation.
Yeah, but which changes the rule?
Not really. The rule's still holding the ball. It's just the umpires.
But it's gone from one extreme to the other in the middle of the year.
It needed to.
I don't know that it needed to. Do we need to have... I don't know. I'm not sure. Why did it get to that point is the question.
Yeah.
Why was it allowed to get to that point?
Well, we couldn't ask Steve McBurney that because he's only been in the role 5 weeks.
But it just staggers me that it got to that point where you could actually whiz a bloke around and then follow him into the pub and buy him a pot and then still be hanging on him and then you just handball the bloke next to him.
Nuffy from Corio, the highlight of the night, Cass going yablet over Kingy at three-quarter time on the big screen.
That was gold, wasn't it? I've had some feedback about that too.
Speaking of the midfielders, trustworthy is Wayne Carey at a barbecue. Do we need to give Mitch Nevitt a go, who's been playing mid in the twos?
Talking to someone, Kingy, and they were scratching their head as well as to why Mitch Nevitt doesn't play. I mean, what do you think of Zach Tui's game in the weekend?
I think he only had three possessions.
Three effective disposal, I reckon he had.
After quarter time.
The
whole game.
Well, not many. He was terrible. It's a summary of how terrible.
Does he get managed this week?
Well, I don't understand. This is the thing. Mitch Nevitt, Zach Tui is out of form, is old, is limited in the positions that he can play. Now, I don't know where he plays, to be honest with you. He's on a wing, but is that his goal? Mitch Nevitt offers you a point of difference in the midfield. He's an inside midfielder. He's 193, he's Joel Corey sort of dimensions. What's that, 6'4"?
Mm-hmm.
He's a big boy. He's added some size. He's put on, I think you've spoken to him a few times. He's had plenty of weight from when he first arrived at the club. He's a very good mark, which can be a real weapon as a midfielder. Zach Tui is limited. He's not a bad mark, but he's short. He's a good kick, Tui, but he doesn't get the ball enough to actually worry any of the opposition with that. I don't understand why Mitch Nevitt, 11 rounds into the year, has played... He played 2 minutes.
Yeah, 20 seconds.
I don't understand why that is, and you've got Tui running around. I would have thought Mitch Nevitt, because you're not bringing in... I understand with Hardy, I mean, I'd love to see him get a game, but I understand with Hardy, they're bringing him in, but they've already got Atkins in there, Jai Clark, Bowes, similar type players.
Yeah.
Never did something different. He's much taller, much bigger, a body of presence around the ball. That's the point of difference for him. But he whacks away in the twos. I think he had 21 again in the twos last week. I'm scratching my head, and the bloke I was talking to was exactly the same. He was like, I don't understand it.
Hmm. Grant Bench, glad we got the win, but it was a tough watch, especially early. Must say I was disappointed Brandon Parfitt hasn't been back. He was doing well until managed. Would you play him? Love the show on the game day call. Thank you.
Yeah, that's another one. He went out of the team, and for no apparent reason. He didn't play that well against the Gold Coast, but I reckon he had 21 mates, or 22, even the sub was crap. Who was the sub? Actually, no, I forget who the sub was, but that's tongue-in-cheek. But I don't understand why he went out, and now he's been out a couple of weeks. Dangerfield coming back in this week, Jai Clark being available, Blitzarv's coming back in. You can't imagine that Parfitt gets back in. He's gone at the end of the year. And you'd love to sit down with somebody at the club and give you actually honest appraisal of why he was out. Why doesn't Mitch Nevitt get a game? Why is Zach Tui continually in and out of the team and managed and then goes out off the back of a poor game, doesn't play the following week and then gets back in again? Staggers me.
Also off the Twitter, plenty here. Easily Jack Bowes' best game of his career.
Yeah, it was
on
good,
Saturday.
Really good. That's why I think he's a key, a funny sort of key, but he's a key to being competitive against Sydney because I think he does offer you something when he's playing well.
Do you think he could get to All Australian standard?
No.
Trent Woodall, Hawkins, Cameron Rowan, Neil Henry. Do you think our forward line was tall enough?
Only just.
By the way, Stengel is gone. Saints are Essendon, 6 years, 700K. Cats offer 3 years, around 400K mark. Gee, yeah. six years for Tyson Stengel for a small forward?
Yeah, that seems excessive.
I would have thought
that. I said earlier on in this podcast, Kingy, not today, but some weeks ago, that Geelong fans were thinking that Tyson Stengel was just going to stay because Geelong gave him a shot. Don't worry about that. That ain't going to happen. He's going to go where he can get the most chaff. Mm. And if teams are prepared to offer him $600,000-800,000 a season,
take it.
And Geelong are offering... Oh, I mean, I don't know that Geelong would only be offering $400,000. Yep. That seems very skinny for mine for a player that's All-Australian removed, once 1 year removed from All-Australian, and is playing very, very well again this year. That seems very light. But if Geelong aren't coming to the party money-wise, I wouldn't hold your breath that the old folding stuff would be key, I reckon.
Money talks.
Well, he's wasted early opportunities in his career.
Yep.
He's got a limited lifespan in his career. Take the chaff. That's what they do in the NFL. There's no such thing as bloody going somewhere because you like the decor.
Skittle Cats raised just a bit of an issue about why it was declared a sellout and only 31,000 people turned up. There's a bit there, but probably stuff we can't answer. It's probably more a question for the club down the track. But like 31,000 there. I don't think there was room for 9,000 more people either, though.
Well, there was no one, hardly anybody in the standing room.
No.
So, is they just walk-ups?
That was general admission members, I think, could have used the standing room.
It was sparse in the standing room.
And it was sparse behind the goals at the end Richmond's cheer squad was as well. But still, I don't know whether they'll fit another 9,000 in there. I don't think we'll ever get 40,000 in there.
Well, they'd want to get more than 31 if they're saying it's a sellout.
Yeah.
It did seem a bit odd.
Yeah, it did. The other issue is the members who don't turn up. The members haven't got into the habit yet of putting their seats back into the pool. So members who actually can put their seats back into the pool and they get a credit off their membership for the following year.
Mm.
So, or against their membership for the following year.
They're not au fait with that, Kingy.
No, I don't think so.
Do you like au fait? It's another
not
one.
Bad. So you've been very good.
Perusal.
Vagaries. Although I got vagaries in the call on Saturday.
An au fait.
Yeah. Catch of the future. Got an X-Files question for you. We've subbed a taller, a marking target three times.
Scully and Mulder.
Stanley, Conway, Henry, and all three of those times, the time of substitution marked the start of a comeback. Mulder thinks there's a connection and we're playing too tall, which Scully says it's just three random data points. Is the truth out there?
I don't know. What do you think about that, Kingy?
No, I haven't given it too much thought, to be honest. Might be
so. When those players come off, we rebound.
Yeah, got moving. Well, the Stanley one sticks out.
That's
in the
a coincidence.
Game.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you need more data points before you're offering that up as a, you know, as a as a paper that we can talk about on a talkback show.
Sort of needs to be a thesis.
So we could ring Tom Elliott and sort of talk about it.
Do you think Sydney will take us seriously, or will they look to rest players to get a double break?
No, they'll take Geelong seriously. Yep. Geelong is in that position where they're always, especially when they see Dangerfield blitz halves back in, they're taking everybody seriously, Sydney, and that's why they're pantsing teams. And they're brutally hard to beat at home. I mean, I think Carlton, did Carlton kick the first five goals of that game? It was 5-1, I'm sure. Mm. And then lost by about 8 or 9. I think Sydney kicked something like 9 or 10 in a row against Carlton.
Yep.
We're not talking about against Richmond. We're talking about against Carlton. Yeah, Geelong are going to need to be on point. I have this feeling, Kingy, that Geelong will be more competitive than perhaps some fans think they will. I think they'll give them a run for their money. I do think Sydney will win, but I think Geelong will be primed for this. They'll realise this is a sort of a pivotal game for them in the season. Off 4 losses, a really poor one against Gold Coast, they come back, they find a way against Richmond, albeit sort of with a undermanned team themselves. They go up there with a couple of key players back, and a couple of question marks on some players. I really think that, you know, Jeremy Cameron is one that needs to London fog and lift.
My third nipple. G'day, boys. Wondering where to go with our midfield. It's glaringly obvious deficiency in our makeup. Do we wait for the young blokes to develop together whilst adding from the draft and free agency?
Yep.
Or do we pay up and pinch a star mid from somewhere, some young bucks and some ageing old bulls, but nothing in between? Love the Cats to have a crack at a few mids in the off-season. Here's a few in no particular order I thought could add something to the team. Davey Juniac, Clayton Oliver, Archie Perkins, Jared Berry, Riley West.
Jared Berry from Brisbane, no. Doesn't find the ball enough and butchers the hell out of it.
Yep.
Davies Uniacke, I'd be looking at. Yeah. And you know what he loves doing, which might be a lure for the Cats? He loves riding his shark biscuit.
Right.
Yes. He's right into his surfing.
Okay.
Big time.
Shark biscuit. I've never caught it. What? Shark biscuit.
Not bad. Have you ever had one of those?
No, I've never surfed, no. Yeah. Matty, hey, fellas, interested in your take on Bo's game. To my eye, he was important catalyst for us in the third. 10 disposals, 3 clearances, a goal. He finished with an equal team high 29. 11 inside 50s, 9 clearances. And when playing like that, gives us something we're sorely missing. Benny, in particular, has very reasonably expressed uncertainty about him in the past. It's only one game, but does a showing like that give you hope for his future?
Yeah, it does.
I
mentioned it before. He's won. What I will say is it's one thing to do it against an undermanned Richmond. Let's see him do it against a full-strength Sydney.
Yep.
That's where I'd love to see him play well against a good team. Irrespective of how the rest of the team's going, play well against a good team. But I agree with all that.
Chalks, hey guys, where are you both now? Dempsey, you seem slow to join the bandwagon. Missing in action, I believe, was one characteristic you thought he had. It seems he might have moved from promising youngster to important player. More than just a flashy type, has been in the best Telstra trackers every single week for high speed and most weeks for total Ks.
Yeah.
Massively important in plugging defensive holes. Every time I think he'll be managed, he seems to have a game to remind us that he's important.
I think so. That's all true and correct. And the thing that I probably underestimated or didn't know about him is he has a big tank. He has really good running capacity. So we heard Troy Selwood talk about that on Saturday night, that he's actually got a really good engine, which, you know, it's important. That's what sets a player like Ryan Myers apart. He's got an enormous engine. And Dempsey has it. He has good skill, and he's good with his hands. He's been a really pleasant surprise this year.
Livid Anki, been trying to work out how to get a question to you, so hopefully this finds you. Collar got close to kicking a goal the other night, and I started to panic. Have Geelong won a game when he's kicked a goal? I remember when we lost when he kicked his first goal, and I think he kicked one the other week, which we all got excited about, and then we lost. He's kicked 4 goals. Geelong are 1-3 when Jake Collar-Jasny kicks a goal.
So you don't want him near the goals?
No. So the only win was against Port Adelaide last
year. He spent a bit of, late in that game, he spent a little bit of time inside forward 50. He was following his man. I think it was Dusty. And Dusty was seeking a kick. And we thought Jake was going to snare another one, but he didn't. But so what we're saying is they're 1-3 when he kicks a goal. We don't want him snagging goals.
Howler 41 going on from Benny's list last week. I wanted to highlight how well we've done from the rookie list. Guthrie, Dempsey, Henry, Tom Stewart from the VFL, Tui O'Connor and Mullen all from the Mull of Kintyre. Mull of Kintyre is actually in Scotland, not Ireland, but we get where you're going here, Howler 41. Tom Tyson Stengel was a gamble. It's paid off. Blitzarves originally a steeplechaser, Olympic style, not grand annual. This has been superb work by the recruiters. It's nailing the early picks that gets teams into premiership contention. From last week's game, Tui had 3 possessions after quarter time. Surely it's for time for younger players to play before him. I think that's a... He will get games, but, he's probably played more than I thought.
Oh.
I thought he'd been a 15-game player, and he's played 9 of the 12.
and he's been pretty ordinary in probably seven of them.
Mm.
Yeah, I said it before. I understand why a player like Nevitt's not playing over Tui, but don't understand it.
From last week's podcast, no, I'm not Mark Neild. Happy to do special comments. Only payment required is some red cans and a $50 sexy
ledger. Ooh, red cans. Are they the Melbourne ones or the Carlton draft ones?
Ledger cat. Chris Scott's name keeps coming up for any rumoured coaching jobs. Brisbane and Tassie both mentioned in the media this week. He has an amazing record at Geelong.
Yep.
The Cats, with champions retiring, need a multi-year rebuild,
yep.
i.e. a couple of years outside the top eight to accumulate top 10 picks. Do you think he'd stay on or extend further? Does he follow Dimmer's footsteps, looking for a new challenge and a more ready list elsewhere?
Yeah, so
contracted till the end of next year.
We can only speculate, but you'd pat him on the back and say great job at Geelong if he wanted to move on to a different challenge, and it might be the right time for Geelong at that time as well to have a different voice and a different perspective on the team, where it's going to probably be in a different phase. So, if I was having a little nibble, I'd be saying that Chris Scott will coach next year, or well, this year and next year.
So he's contracted to the end of 25.
And then find a different challenge.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is, and I'm not saying that, it'd be a mutual parting.
Yeah.
You've done a great job here. You've been here, been a long time tenured coach. You've won two premierships. We've been competitive in the whole time that you've coached. And he might, you know what, the other one is, if Chris Fagan is, I reckon, outski at Brisbane.
Yep.
They're just going badly. Would he go to Brisbane at the end of this year?
Not sure.
Would Brisbane be doing the old knock on the door?
I think they'd ask the question.
I would have thought they would too. So would it be that he leaves at the end of this year?
Who knows? Well, yeah, it's a hypothetical.
Well, he's a former Brisbane player. He'd have some attachment to the club.
Yep.
Lee Matthews, is he still on the board there?
I'm not sure if he's on the board, but he's still heavily involved.
Phone call from Lee.
Yep.
Chris, are you interested? Looks at the Cats list thinking, you know.
But maybe he wants the challenge again of...
Oh, 100%, but he might want the challenge somewhere else, where he can go to Brisbane and be a similar type to Geelong.
Yep.
I mean, they've got the players there. I don't know why they are where they are, but they've got a team that should be contending for the premiership. Yep. And they've got more players to come. You get Ashcroft back, his brother. They're reasonably young.
Hmm.
That's a challenge. That's a team you could take over next year and legitimately be thinking you could win the premiership.
Daz Broncos, my boy Neil is building slowly but nicely. Speed of the game, not too much for him. Just has to settle in the certain moments a bit more.
Yeah.
Looking outside the...
That's game time. That's just plain. Get to 50 games.
Yep. Looking outside the Cats fishbowl for a second, how likely do you blokes reckon we are to getting LDU, so Davies Uniac, Bailey Smith, Clayton Oliver, all three fill a need, but at what cost?
I don't want Clayton
and risk
Oliver
versus reward. For mine, it's LDU only. Risk of the others rest is too great for on and off field. Do you agree? And thus explain. I'd love Luke Davies Uniac.
Oh, he'd be perfect for the Cats. Bigger body than what they've got. He's a gun. As I said, love surfing. That might be a lure.
Yep. Ted Close, he's having a really solid VFL year. Reckon he's got to get a chance at AFL level again soon.
Yep, there's another one.
Yep.
Put him, he's a midfielder.
Yep.
Yeah.
Get some games.
Probably a little bit similar to Atkins, Clark, Bruin, Bose. That's probably the problem for him. He's not explosive. He's an accumulator, tough. We've got those blokes. I mean, they've dropped out Parford, who's those things as well. So that's where it becomes difficult for him, because you can't have six blokes who are all exactly the same. That's why they missed Dangerfield and Guthrie, who got a bit of polish and a bit of kick.
Big pregame.
Yeah, massive.
Tom Harley.
Oh, the former Cat captain.
Mm.
Oh, good.
Yep, he's going to join us.
Good.
Stephen King from the Cats. Oh,
he'll be super serious.
Travis Varko.
He'll be sort of line and length.
Travis Varko is going to join us for a check.
Oh,
he's going into the Cats Hall of Fame. And your quiz.
Yeah, well, I've
can you, and you've got a plane trip to actually work on 10 questions, Benny.
Yeah, but I came up with some all right ones last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you put in which three Cats left with Tom Hafey at the end of 1985 as the question?
Tui Williams, Bolton.
Yeah, put that in.
What about the... What does Cheese actually, just say? About what does Cheese say when it's having its photo taken?
Just Bernard Tui has been unwell.
Has he?
Yeah. So just a shout out to the great number 15.
He was an absolute gun. I did the only player I've ever done a selfie with, Kingy, at the Diggers.
Do you know how many?
About 3 years ago.
Do you know how many games he played?
200 and something.
Yeah, 270 odd.
Yeah, he was a gun.
Yeah, across three clubs.
And a really good fella.
Yeah, great bloke.
I chewed his ears. I had to take restraining orders out. On him, the Diggers one night.
He's a legitimately good
I'd had 117 pots, and I spied Bernard Tui over there. I think he'd had about 113. And we were reliving. Anyway, I took a selfie with him. The only time I've ever done a selfie.
He kicked seven in a game once for the Swans.
Oh, he was a jet.
Yeah.
He was either end of the Amazon tough. Too, but a lovely fella. Yeah, tough as a woodpecker's lips he was there.
See you, Benny.
Goodbye.
Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.